Let's read together from Matthew 27. I'd like for us to remember the scene when Jesus died. This is Matthew 27. Look down at verse 27. It said, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his hand, and they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him, and led him away to crucify him. As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall. And after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began to watch over him there. Above his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he delights in him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. It is interesting that in this ugly scene, there is this whole collection of people who play a part. Verse 27, for example, mentions the soldiers. In fact, the whole Roman cohort who mock Jesus. And then suddenly, Simon in verse 32 appears on the scene, only briefly as he's pressed into service to carry the cross. And then there's that whole collection of people who come to the execution and pass by, the text says, hurling abuse at him, including the religious leaders, verse 41 mentions, the chief priests, and scribes, and elders. But most curious to me are the men dying with Jesus, the two robbers. Matthew says that they were insulting him too. I find it odd that they are mentioned at all. It is not as though the three of them conspired together to commit a crime and now are all being executed together. It is just by chance that these two other condemned men were scheduled to die at the same time Jesus' enemies had worked out this plot to kill him too. And so they ended up together. Though Mark does note that that actually fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 53 and verse 12, that he would be numbered with the transgressors. The interesting thing is that their role at this climactic moment of the Bible story is more significant than just that they fulfilled this prophecy. Think about this. No other person on the planet had a better view of this scene than these two men. Have you ever thought about that? Nobody. Think about it. They personally witness everything that transpires. They could look down and see the soldiers haggling over the garments of Jesus. They could hear every insult thrown at him. And they heard his words too. Every word Jesus spoke from the cross, they heard. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And yet even their angle on all of this is unique, unlike anyone else's, because as they see and hear all of this taking place, they are suffering exactly what Jesus is suffering. They were being crucified too. And so the torture inflicted on his body, the suffering he was feeling, they knew exactly what that was like. If anyone had a front row seat to the crucifixion of Jesus, these two men did. What is even more interesting is if you will look over at Luke chapter 23, Luke actually records how each of the men respond to the spectacle. And so down in verse 39, and this is where I think it really gets interesting. Luke 23, verse 39, the text says, one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, and said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Critics of the Bible see a contradiction here. Because remember that Matthew says both of the criminals were hurling abuse at Jesus. But Luke says only one was doing that. And so critics say the two stories don't line up. It is unfortunate that they do this, because in trying to label this as a contradiction, they actually miss something crucial. Matthew is certainly correct when he says initially they joined with those who mocked Jesus. But then they watch how he dies. They know his suffering. They know his suffering, which does not at all align with his words from the cross. One of the two criminals is changed by that. Instead of hurling insults, that stops. And instead, he begins to rebuke his partner in crime. He's a penitent man, owning responsibility for his sins. And in Jesus, he sees his last little shred of hope, right? Remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus gives him hope. Today you'll be with me in paradise. I see the gospel in the two robbers, don't you? We all make messes. We choose to sin and suffer the consequences. And in the case of these two men, the worst possible consequences. And here they are at the climactic moment of their mess, and Jesus is set before them. One considers him and remains entrenched in his unbelief. Think about that. Even scoffing, Jesus with the last breath in his body. But the other man sees Jesus and he is drawn to him, finds hope in him, seeks rescue and is promised paradise. Isn't that interesting? That in these two men who understood the cross better than any other witness, we see the two responses to Jesus. Rejection, unbelief, and faith and hope. In these two men, we see the gospel. We come to this table this morning, oddly enough, to celebrate the awful scene that these two robbers shared with Jesus. And like one of them, to marvel at what we see here, just as he did. And to be thankful for it. Because like that thief in this awful scene, we find rescue and hope for the paradise that this thief now enjoys.